Right? It says when we look up to heaven, freedom reigns in this place. If any of you guys might have this feeling of inadequacy or I don't know what you're saying. If you feel like you can't, right? If you feel like you can't, if you feel like you're done, you're too old, or you're going through too much, or something has happened that makes you feel like you're separated from the love of God, I want to tell you today that there was nothing that you could have ever done that will separate you from the love of God. There is no age limit to where you stop doing for God. There is no limitation on what you can and can't do, and that's what the message is going to be about today. God wants you to dive deep. No matter how old, how young, no matter how many obstacles bog you down, God wants you to dig deep. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to trust in Him. He wants you to rely on Him. He wants you to communicate with Him. Ask Him, God, where can I be used? What do you have for me to do? I feel like I've given everything I have. I'm too old. I can't do anything more. And God's going to say, watch me use you in a way that you'll never imagine. Watch me use you in a way to fill somebody up with hope today. Watch me use you in a way that'll take a youngster who's cracked out, methed out, strung out, surrounded by gangs and held down by the world, but you see him somewhere and you talk to him, because that's what happened to me. A little old lady from this church who passed away see me at the post office, and she took a second of her time to smile with me, a smile that showed the love of God. She took a second of her time to look at me and to smile and tell me that Jesus loved me. She took the second of her time to tell me that I needed to come to this church. She took a second of her time to build a hope in me that planted a seed that completely transformed me. So I want you guys to let this song just touch you deep.
Thank you, Lord, for freedom. Oh, sing it where the Spirit of the Lord is again. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
From depression, from drugs.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is.
From feeling not qualified.
There is freedom.
From doubt, from fear, from sin. There is freedom.
Lift your eyes
to the Father and spend some time with Him
there
right now.
There is freedom.
Lift your eyes to the Father right now and spend time with Him.
Lift your eyes to heaven.
There Lord, we thank you for your freedom. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your love, God. We thank you for your grace. Right here, right now, freedom reigns.
Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
I want you guys to know that freedom is for each and every one of you. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Amen. I'm going to say that again. There was nothing that can separate you from the love of God. I just wanted to take a second to get back in the presence of God. Because I feel like a lot of us in this room right now, we come from different places. We come from different walks. We come from different experiences, different pasts, different pains, different hurts. But the one thing that we have in common is that we're sons and daughters of the Most High. And He loves us, and He sees you where you're at. But you know what He doesn't see? He doesn't see what you're doing. He sees His beautiful sons and daughters, and He wants you guys to experience His freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Oh, man. So this mission trip got me fired up. It's got me fired up. And before I start, I just want to thank everybody who has sowed in financially and spiritually. If it wasn't for you guys, it wouldn't have been possible for me to experience this. And for those of you guys that prayed with me, I got a lot of phone calls from people who said, I was woken up in the middle of the night and I've never experienced it before, and I was told to pray for you. And it was awesome, because you know what was awesome? I was in the middle of some spiritual warfare. It was so awesome. Like, we all go into having an expectation when I go in. When you go into something like this, like a mission trip, right? You just want God to move. And it was like God showed up. It was absolutely insane. I can't wait to share it with you guys. But I appreciate every single one of you, you know, from the prayers to the money. None of those were any greater or lesser than each other. Each one of them had an equal part in making sure that I was able to do what I went to do and come home safely to my family. So I really appreciate you guys for that. Like I said, I went with an expectation and got so much more. I experienced God's amazing love, and I witnessed miracle after miracle after miracle. While I was there, I'm going to tell you this, I wasn't focused on like keeping count of how many people we touched and how many people got saved and how many people got healed, but somebody was, so I'm going to share that with you. my teacher sent these numbers to me. We had 33 salvations. 33 baptisms in the Spirit, 49 healings, 4 water baptisms, and 4 deliverances. The mission trip was kind of like a ministry boot camp, if you will. Like, we got to walk in many different areas of things to kind of prepare us, right? And I thought it was awesome because I didn't like all of them. But it was cool to me in the sense that I got to see where I thrived, but I also got to see where others thrived. So like, I had people in my group that were like, dude, I do not belong here. What am I doing? I do not have a place. I do not have a purpose. I'm nobody. I just kind of hide in the shadows. And then I watched them get up in front of children and their area that they had no idea that they would shine in and completely blossom. And I'm just sitting there like holding back tears as they're just opening up and allowing God to work through them. So part of my message today, I want everybody to seek in, is like, okay, less of me and more of you. Where can I decrease so that you can increase? That is something that I've been telling myself for over the last 2 years daily. God, help me decrease so that you can increase. Help me set Richie aside so that you can just be evident in everything I do. And do I fail? Absolutely. Trust me. I've not perfected anything, but I'm getting closer and closer every time, and I'm shining in so much, and God works through me. So it's like nothing that I was able to do there. Like, there was a couple times where people on the class were like, Richie, you did an amazing job. You're so great. And I'm like, no. Believe it or not, Richie has trouble speaking in front of people. Like, I don't do good in crowds. I get really balled up. Like, I have trouble. But when you put a mic on my hand and I start to prepare, or God starts to prepare a message in my heart, then I'm able to set myself aside and lift God up and let God do the work. Sometimes I'll sit on the backside and I'll be like, dude, what did you just say? And I'm like, dang, God, all right, cool. You showed up today. So we were shown everything from hospital ministry, school ministry, from preschool to high school. We all know where I did good on that one. Door-to-door ministry, park evangelism, elderly homes, how to share testimonies, how to preach, a service, how to serve, which was one of my favorites, and how to lift up and edify each other and encourage each other to be confident in what they did. And that's also going to be a big part of today's message is, body, we are all important in this room, every single one of you. There is not one person in here that doesn't provide something to this church working perfectly, right? I don't know the complexities of an engine, but I've recently found out as one thing doesn't work, the whole thing doesn't want to work, right? So when there's someone there to take the trash out, or there's somebody there to lead somebody to a seat with a smile, or one of you guys is super kind to a stranger who normally would not fit in, or let me tell you something, that person doesn't normally fit in anywhere. So when you shine God's love and God's grace and God's mercy, and they see that we're more than a church of a pastor who sits here and talks about, but we're doing what God instructed us to do, we're showing the love God instructed us to show, we're being the church. These four walls mean nothing. But when we're all operating in our areas, our perspective areas, we, each and every one of you, build this church. And I'm telling you, Chad shared it with you. It's no secret. We're getting ready to build a church. We are building a church. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be powerful. I believe that the future of this place is going to be just, it's going to be insane. And I'm super excited to see what's going to happen. I'm already seeing certain parts change, and I'm like, I'm getting pumped up like, God, I don't know what it is you got, but yeah, yeah. All right. Awesome. So for me, I served in many of the areas that I've already served here in the United States, but it did help me to pinpoint some areas that I don't like, some of my strengths, some of my weaknesses. Some of my weaknesses, like obviously I love school ministry. Not the little kids, I like the high school kids. I'll tell you why I don't do good with the little kids. If come to find out, I am a pushover. These little beautiful angels would look up at me, and for some stupid reason, somebody gave me a bag of marshmallows. And they come up to me like, sir, and you get a marshmallow, and you get a marshmallow, and the mom's looking at me like, and I'm like, you get a marshmallow. And before I know it, I'm giving away all the marshmallows that they're supposed to be making sheep with. And I completely got excited about my message that I forgot to do something. Do you guys mind if I stop for a second? Bill, can you play that slideshow? I'm sorry the pictures are small. This is my first time making a video. Delicious. Baptized some people. It was awesome. That was also awesome. So yeah, I got in trouble because I was giving away the sheep that were supposed to be made, and I realized that that's not my thing. But as I was getting told I had to give the marshmallows back because I was being bad, I stepped back and I smelt this fragrance of marijuana. And I'm like, what's going on? And I look outside and there's this van where these two teenagers are, and they're in the van and they're smoking weed. And I'm like, okay, that's where I belong, right? So I go outside, which I got in trouble for too. I went outside and I'm talking to these kids. There's a block wall and then there's the sidewalk and then there's the kids in this van that look like it'd been blown up, right? It just completely tattered. And I'm talking to the kids, and I'm like, hey, you know, it's pretty rough out here, huh? And they're just like, yeah, they kind of give me a look. And so I began to share with them my testimony about where I came from, you know, how I'd witnessed shootings and stabbings and houses getting burnt down and drugs and all this stuff, and the experiences I had and everything that God has saved me from, and how in the beginning I was still in the middle of my circumstances and he still changed me. And so I was trying to give them the same hope that if you would just rely and trust in God, he's going to do a work inside of you. It doesn't mean you don't have to change where you're at. God's going to change you where you're at. And so the kids were starting to kind of warm up to me, and I was able to hand them some comic book Bibles, and I asked them if I could pray for them. And I was like, hey, can you come here? Let me pray for you guys. And they looked up at the building and they're like, no, we can't leave the van. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, well, it's cool. Like, I don't need to put my hands on you to have God do a work in you. I could touch you from here. So we just started praying for them. And I know the one kid that was in front, there was a kid behind him. The one kid that was in front was kind of trying to be tough, but you can see it was hitting him. But the kid in the back was, you know, he had tears rolling down his eyes. And I'm like, man, gosh, just, you know, the only thing they ask for when you ask, like, what do you want prayer for, right? A lot of us can think of a Christmas list, right? Like, I want a pony. I want a new car, right? These kids are like, I just want to be safe. I just want safety. And so that really affected me. At the high school is where I really just, man, it was really awesome. So we go in there. I was the main speaker, and then we had two people sharing testimonies. And as we go into the high school, you know, I'm looking around, and it's kind of like a prison. They got these big old gates that you got to go through, and then there's like a two-story apartment complex, it looked like. It was kind of long, and then there was an area where they were serving nachos. And there's a little lunch area, and then more classrooms and stuff like that, and I'm sitting there looking at everything, kind of taking it in, and the kids really weren't interested in what we had to bring. The speakers were speaking, and I'm just kind of in the moment, just speaking in tongues, just sitting in the spirit, like, okay, God, what do you want to happen here? Like, let me put away everything I prepared. Let me put away everything that I thought you wanted me to do, and let me do what you want me to do. And so I'm like waiting, and finally I'm like, okay, I know what I'm gonna do. And so I'm gonna kind of tell you part of it that I didn't know. As I got started, God was like, share one of your songs. So I'm like, all right, cool, I'm gonna share a song, right? So I plug into the Bluetooth speaker, and I played the song. And it started enough for the kids to hear the noise. And we went from like 20 to like 60, 70 kids like that. And I was like, sweet. All right, here we go. And then so like the kids were excited now. They were wanting to hear. What I didn't know at the time was there was a lady who was a teacher there who was over there praying against me. She was speaking things against me. I don't know, praying or some sort of witchcraft or whatnot. But the students told me later on that she was actually praying against me. I didn't know that at the time. So I'm like, okay, this speaker doesn't work. All right, so I brought a speaker in my backpack. I'm like, all right, cool, I'm prepared. I pulled out another speaker, hooked that up. It started and then it stopped. And I'm like, what is going on here? I looked at my phone. I'm connected to both, but it still wasn't working. And so when the music was supposed to be going through the speaker, it wouldn't work. But when it was going through the mic, it worked. So I'm like, you know what? We're going to go ghetto with it. And I put my phone to the thing, and I just put my phone to this thing. I'm like, we're going to play this no matter what, right? And so the song starts going. I start doing my thing. I'm rapping. The kids are getting into it. They're excited. And all of a sudden, it stopped working. But I put my phone down, and my voice would go through, but it wasn't working anymore. And so I'm like, you know what? I don't have to do this. Like, I came prepared with God, with a message for you guys. I don't need this. I can care less about the music. And I started to preach. As I began to preach, a little girl on the second story of the building just fell out. She just fell. Boom. And then somebody picked her up, and they're running down the stairs. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? But I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to get distracted. So I kept ministering. I kept preaching. And then another little girl falls, boom, right next to me. And I'm like, what is happening here? Like, what's in the water? Are you thirsty? No. But I'm like, I'm determined to not get distracted. Open that. I'm determined to not get distracted. So I prayed for her real quick, and I carried on. As I got finished, that's when the students came to me and told me that I was being prayed against, that these people were speaking things against me. And it got me pumped up, because like, I'm like, wow, like, this is awesome. I'm just really pumped up by God at the moment. And so I'm like, cool. Like, you know what? I grabbed some of the students. I grabbed some of the people that I'm with. And I'm like, let's pray right now. We start just going to town. We're praying against this lady and her nonsense. We're praying that her heart's soft, and we're praying against any evil spirit spirits. We're praying that the people that are there that are believers begin to take action there and start praying over the school daily, start, you know, just walking in our authority and our power and our giftings from God and just start speaking against these things. Like, I'm pumped up at this point. Well, as I'm finishing up in my prayer and I say amen, the director of the school, she grabs me and she drags me across the school. She's like, we need to come over here. There's people that you need to pray for. And so anyways, we get pulled over there. I get over there and there's this girl. Listen, I've heard from Pastor Lee, I've heard from a lot of people, but I've not experienced things myself, right? And I know that, like, as I, like, listen to, like, Smith Wigglesworth and a bunch of people who are involved in this kind of stuff, like, it's kind of amped me up, and I'm like, well, you know, I know where I stand, right? I know who I am. I know where my authority lies. But this little girl is on the floor, and she's just, like, manifesting demons. And it, like, in that moment, like, I wasn't worried or concerned or scared or anything. You know, I put my hands on her and I began to pray for her, and all of this stuff is just coming out of her. And I mean, when it was done, I took a step back, like, oh my gosh, like, that was awesome. I mean, it was horrible. I maybe that's the wrong way to say it, but it was awesome. It was an awesome experience. And the reason why I was saying it was awesome, not because of what we did, but because of what God sent us there to do, and it happening. What was awesome is watching this little girl get set free from something that's been attached to her for so long. Who knows how many areas of her life has been affected? Who knows what's happening inside of her household? Who knows what's going on around the people that she's with? All I know is in that moment, that little girl got set free. You know what I'm saying? And so that was super exciting for me. Super exciting for me. I was really just enjoyed that a lot. The hospital was different. It was kind of awkward going room to room, talking with people. But man, we went in expecting and we were not let down. So we go into this place in the hospital. And one of my things is I'm not really great at door-to-door ministries. I'm not. Knocking on, you know, coming into somebody's privacy, you know, they're sick, they're this or that. There's an awesome place for that, let me tell you. And again, as I said earlier, somebody in here is going to shine in that area, but I'm probably not that guy. But we were going in there, and I kind of stayed in the doorway as the team went in, and they started praying for people. And I'm just watching, like, the nurse's booth. Man, those girls got wrecked. Those girls got wrecked. Like, they're, like, on the clock, and they're getting wrecked. But some of them were concerned about work, but they're like, listen, I've got to come with me in the closet, and come with me over here, and we'll have you pray for me. Like, they were getting excited because things were happening right there that they didn't understand, and it was really awesome. And so as they were going through the classrooms and stuff, I'm sitting out in the doorway because, again, it's not really my area. And this guy, he comes by, and he's walking like this. You know, he's walking kind of funny. And so I'm like, hey, what happened? And he said, oh, he's a caregiver for somebody, and he hurt himself. And so I asked him if I can pray for him, and he's like, yeah, I'll receive it. And so I prayed for him, and you know, the guy kind of was like, well, it's still kind of there, but I receive it. And so I kind of just let it go, you know. And about like 5 or 10 minutes later, so the hospital, it's got like an outside courtyard, but then the second stairs upstairs is kind of like a square area of rooms. This dude 5 minutes later is running around the square with a big old smile on his face, and he goes like 5 or 6 laps, and he's like, oh. And I'm like, yeah, praise God. And we're like sitting there rooting them on. So at this point, momentum's starting to gain, and some of our students. So there was a kid who was in a bed, and they were telling him, like, he's done. He's not coming out of it. He's out of it. He's like in a coma. He's done. There's nothing you can do for him. And they were like, the people I was with were like, well, can we pray for him? And they were like, look, you can pray for him all you want. Nothing's gonna happen. And they're like, oh, cool, sweet. And so they laid hands on him, and the people left. And then when the people came back, the kid was not only awake, but he was up eating. So he went from, like, there's no way he's ever going to have any kind of life. There's absolutely no way. Our understanding, doctor's understanding is, dude's done. God's understanding was obviously God had a different understanding of what was going on, because it was truly awesome. At the park, the park stuff and the door-to-door stuff that you saw me holding a bag of beans, we took 200 pounds of beans and rice through the neighborhood and kind of knocked on the door. You know, I was doing pretty good at just talking to people, but it really wasn't my ministry, and I couldn't fight the feeling that the police were going to come as I was trying to lure kids to Jesus with candy. I'm just like, look, dude, I know in America, if I'm doing this, I'm getting the cops called. I don't want to go to jail here. I'll do jail in America. I'm not doing jail here. I was feeling really uncomfortable. And so like the guy, Gray, you know, he does it all the time. He's like, he's telling this little kid, he goes, hey, buddy, you want some candy? How many friends do you got with you? And I'm just like, what's next? We got some Bibles in the van? Like, I'm good. I'm good, dude. So I did not enjoy that. But what I did enjoy was Fatima had made us pupusas one time at their house. We went to go see Caleb and Fatima, and they were so good. And so I'm, like, really uncomfortable, and I look over, and there's this shed that makes these pupusas. And I'm like, yes, that's where I belong. So I go over there, and I get me a plate, and I'm sitting there. And it was awesome because it did turn into ministry. I got to talk to these people, got to pray with them, got to share God with them, got to give some Bibles to their kids. I will tell you that because of donations that come in from this church, I was able to take 500 comic book Bibles with me, and every single one of them got handed out. So that was super awesome. So that seed that you sown in is now all over Belize. Praise God. Super awesome. Man, that's what I'm saying. Every little part helps further reach more people and plant seeds in places we never thought we would go. You guys were all there. We had an amazing moment at the farmer's market. I can't wait to tell you guys this one. We had the opportunity to walk around with the locals and hang out. One of the friends of the guy who was taking us around, he brought a keyboard out and he set up a speaker and a microphone, and it was there, like, if you wanted to share something with the people, you could. If you don't want to, you can just walk around freely. So I'm kind of just walking around freely, enjoying the beautiful place. All the guys that I'm with are like, dude, we should not eat from here. This is nasty. And I'm like, dude, I will take that tamale from that dirty ice chest, bless it in the name of Jesus, and enjoy the heck out of it. And that's exactly what I did. Oh, that tamale was good. They wrap them in banana leaves. They were so good. They were so good. But anyways, I got to walk around and minister to some people, and I felt led to grab that microphone. So you guys seen in the pictures, I was kind of in a farmer's market, and I'm out there, and I'm just sharing my testimony with these people and thanking them and all that. And there was a man on the side of us who really just stuck out to me. And so I got to talking with the guy. I got to praying with him and stuff. And as I'm doing this, I'm looking down at his feet. He had been in an injury, and he had some surgery done on his feet, and he had a bunch of pins and stuff. But his feet were kind of contorted, and he could hardly walk at all, right? And so I'm thinking to myself, buy this guy some shoes, right? And again, you guys are awesome. I asked for an amount for my trip, and I ended up with over $2,000 extra, which I took with me, and I gave it all away. I gave it away. It was awesome. The guy, I'm thinking to myself, buy him some shoes, but I wasn't obedient in the moment, and I turned around to walk away, and one of my classmates comes up to me, and she's like, dude, you want to buy him shoes? And I'm like, get out of there. Stop it. You know? So anyways, she talks me into going again. I go get the shoes. She goes and gets socks. This dude is so excited about the idea of shoes. He's like walking up to me, you know, hobbling. He's walking up to me, and we got the socks. We got the shoes. I'm looking around for a place to sit him down. I see there's a little bridge that goes over a canal, and there's a curb. And I sit him down on the curb, and we begin to share the gospel with him, you know? He received salvation. We prayed with him right there. And then we asked him if we can baptize him. And this is where some of my beliefs got a little... I didn't want to complain or argue with the lady, but I'm thinking, I'm looking around, and I see the canal, and I'm like, I'm not getting in that. Like, if we can lower him in there, cool, but I mean, I'm not getting in that. I'm not. And she's like, oh, it's fine. I got a bottle of water. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, baptism in my mind has to be full submersion. Like, I just had a struggle with it, but I let her go through with it anyways, because I'm not going to argue with the lady right there. I'm not going to break up a beautiful thing, right? And as we lean him back to baptize him, he puts his head in my hand, and I watch her pour the water over the top of his head, and I watch the filthy water come out of his hair. And I look him in his face, and this dude is completely submerged in the moment. He's completely submerged in the Spirit, and he is fully receiving a breakthrough in his life. He's fully receiving the Holy Spirit into his life, and he's got tears washing down my face, and I'm just lost in this moment because it was so beautiful. His circumstances didn't matter at the moment. He had a look of happiness and peace and joy and tears streaming down his face. And it just wrecked me. It wrecked me. And so we offered, we asked him if he wanted to receive the Holy Spirit, and he did. And he was, after being baptized, he began to speak in tongues. And he was just receiving. He was in a heart of receiving. And it was so beautiful. And when I thought like it was done and we couldn't do anything else, we began to wash this man's feet. We began to wash this man's feet. Who knows when the last time his feet were washed? They were filthy. And we sat there and we humbled ourselves and we washed his feet. And we placed brand new socks on his feet and brand new shoes. And as we're doing this, a man walks up and he's just completely just hit by what he saw us doing. He was hit by the obedience of walking in what God has called to do, because nobody in here wants to touch dirty feet. But it wasn't about that. It was just a beautiful thing to sit there and experience. And I'll tell you what, I'll do it a million more times. It was so awesome. If you ever feel led to step outside of your comfort zone and do something that you would never do, I encourage you to do it, because you are going to receive more in that moment than you would doing something of your own will. Almost my message. And so I started ministering to this guy who showed up on the bike, and I'm ministering to him. We pray for him. I turn around and the guy is gone. Mind you, this guy was the one that walked up to me like this. I forgot a part. He had been shot, and he got shot here, and he showed me the back of his leg had a big dent where muscle was. A bullet tore his muscle up, and so he had a big cave in his muscle. I turned around, and this dude had ran across the bridge and was running all the way back to his stuff. And I'm not talking like a hobble. I'm talking dude was running, Forrest Gump running. It was absolutely beautiful. So that was a highlight of my trip. And so I just want to say, although I highly recommend missions trips, I want to encourage you all that God is not done with you yet. And for some, he has not even began to move in your lives. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he has prearranged and made ready for us." I like the Amplified. We've gone over so many different arguments with people, and my final decision is whatever Bible makes sense to you is the best one for you. I bounce back and forth from probably 5 or 6, but Amplified in this one really helps bring it to life for me. We all should be filled with the desire to walk in all that God has for us, to be doers, not just hearers of the word, to have a firm understanding of who we are and whose we are, and walking in the fullness of our spiritual gifts. How many of you want to walk in the fullness of your spiritual gifts? See, I don't want just some of what God has for me. I want all of what God has for me. There are a lot of promises in this book, in the Bible, that God has for us that we never tap into. I want to tap into every bit of it. I want to be selfish in my relationship with the Father. I want everything he has for me. If that means freedom, I want freedom. I want freedom in all areas. I want to be a living reflection of Christ in front of every single one of you. I want to be a living reflection of Christ with my door shut. Amen. Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you should give. This is for each and every one of you in this room. God has freely given us the gift of salvation. It is up to us to share what he has done for us at work, at home, everywhere our feet go. Not waiting for the next mission trip, not waiting to get pumped up by somebody. Guys, listen, the scriptures are pumping me up right now. I came back. I know I got the joy of going on a mission trip, and some of you guys haven't gone there, but I know that a lot of the things that I did out there, I've already been doing here. You know, Pastor Chad and I have opened up into the schools this year. We're in the schools, in public schools, sharing the gospel for 2 hours every week. I've gone to men's homes. My wife has gone to women's homes. Like, we've gone to park evangelisms where we share the gospel with the lost. We've been out there feeding the homeless. We've been out there giving clothes to the homeless. I keep a case of Bibles in my car everywhere I go, and I hand them out everywhere I go. I don't wait for anything, and I want you guys to understand this too. Those things that we're told to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to cast out demons, that's each and every one of your guys' jobs. So if you're sitting there saying, well, that's for you, it's not for me, I'm sorry, but Jesus said it's for you. Amen. These were given to all of us to walk in freely, and we must freely give it to others. So before I go any further, Pastor Freddie did this while he was here, and I've sort of adopted it. I started doing it in the youth room. I do it at school. I do it on my own time, and I want you guys to do it with me today. So I want you guys to lift up your Bibles or your devices if your Bibles are on them. And I want you guys to say with me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. I have an alert mind. I have an attentive spirit. I draw on the anointing to destroy every yoke in me and everyone in this room. I will be transparent by the incorruptible word of God. Amen and amen. So we all have these abilities, but some will walk more in one than the other. So if I titled my message today, it would be The Diversities of God. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12, 4, says, now there are distinctive varieties of spiritual gifts, special abilities given by the grace and extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit operating in believers. But it is the same Spirit who granted them and empowers believers. Number 5, and there are distinctive varieties of ministries and services, but it is the same Lord who is served. 6, and there are distinctive ways of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who produces all things in all believers, inspiring, energizing, and empowering them. Being in Belize, watching all these things happen reminded me that there was 2 times where I've been with Pastors Chad and Gina, and I watched them be prophesied over, and they were told that our church, you guys, were going to operate in every single one of these giftings, and that we were going to operate in a 5-fold ministry. Amen. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Doesn't that excite you? Guys, you guys are going to operate, not Chad and Gina, Pastor Chad and Gina, not me and my wife. All of us are going to operate in these giftings because he didn't give them to some of them. He gave them to all of us. Now, some of us will operate more in one area than the person next to us, right? But as I said before, it takes every single one of you guys in this room, whether you see it or not, to operate in your calling so that we can all function as a perfectly moving body, right? Because it takes more than my leg hopping up on its own to move it to walk, right? My legs aren't thinking for themselves, amen? number seven says, First Corinthians 12:7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. 8 says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. As I was reading this, listen, so I get back from my missions trip, right? I was so engrossed in what I was doing there and everything that I did not think about the fact that I was talking today, right? And then one of the brothers here in this church had told me that he was going to give me a book, right? And he gave me this book. It's a devotional by Smith Wigglesworth. I get stumbled up on this book, on this name. But he gave me this book, and day one, I open it and I read, and here this is. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. This is so beautiful because I got the opportunity to walk in all these things. I got the opportunity, right, to lay my hands. And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, man, I was a knight in shining armor. I was so powerful and thinking I was going to get it perfect every time. Like, there was no shadow of my doubt. I'm going to say fall, and it would just fall, right? There was some areas where I was like, do something, please. But thank God it's not on me. It's not on Richie. Richie's not the one that made it happen. God gave me the gifting and authority to walk in what he's called me to do. And it was my obedience in him that gave him the ability to work through what I was doing, right? It wasn't Richie. It wasn't how great I am, because I fall all the time. But it was God working through me. It was the obedience. Man, I love obedience. That word was a hard one for me back in the day, right? I'll lay down for no man. I'll tell you what, I'll get on my knees for Jesus every time. I have no shame of bowing down to something that is greater than me and saying, God, have your way, lesser of me and more of you. God, help me to decrease so that you can increase. My life doesn't matter. I messed my life up. I had my chance with my life, and I threw that one into the dirt. I'll tell you what, guys, yesterday at school, and I didn't think it was going to bother me. Having things the way I did growing up, I don't really get excited for certain pinnacle moments, right? But as they gave me my cap and gown yesterday for my graduation, I about fell apart. I fell apart because I didn't finish junior high. I got kicked out of school at 7th grade for selling methamphetamines, and I didn't go back to school until my 12th grade, and it was because I had to. I never achieved anything. But I got my GED. And that was awesome. Like, that came in the mail, and I was super proud of myself on that one. I wish my dad was still here to see it. And I used to get worked up thinking, like, man, you know, it sucks when you accomplish something in life because you don't have anybody to share it with. I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. God has given me a family when I never knew what family was. So I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate the heck out of Pastor Chad and Gina. I'll tell you what. I kept pushing through, and it really hit me. And I was thinking, a part of me was like, it's just Bible college. But you know what, dude? It's Bible college. Like, I was facing the death penalty, and I just graduated Bible college. Like, My felonies were supposed to keep me from going into another country, but God wiped my felonies clean so that I can go wherever I want sharing the gospel. Amen. I'm super excited about that. 1 Corinthians 12:14 through 20. I love this one. It says, but now, as things really are, God has placed and arranged the parts in the body, each one of them, this is for you all, just as he willed and saw fit with the best balance of function. If they all were in a single organ, where would the rest of the body be? But now, as things really are, there are many parts, different limbs and organs, but a single body. I know what happened. I got so excited reading this, I wanted to share it with you guys. I'm not even going to put them up there, but I do want to tell you, if you're keeping notes, 1 Corinthians 12:21. Sheesh. All the way to 31. And so I was getting pumped up as I was reading this. I hope it pumps you guys up. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. But quite the contrary, the part of the body that seems to be weaker, how many of you guys feel like you're the weaker part of the body? Right? How many times have you felt like you just can't? Like you've got nothing less to give, you've given it all. This is for you. The part of the body that seems to be weaker are absolutely necessary. And as for those parts of the body which are considered less honorable, how many of you guys have felt less honorable? I know I was in here one day feeling way less honorable. I couldn't come into this room without smoking a rock. True. I could not come out here, come in this room unless I was higher than a kite. And God bless Pastor Lee, because I would sit in the back room like this. These we treat with greater honor, and our less presentable parts are treated with greater modesty, while our more presentable parts do not require it. But God has combined the whole body, giving greater honor to the part which lacks it, so that there would be no division or discord in the body, that is, lack of adaptation of the parts to each other. But that the parts may have the same concern for one another. Guys, one thing I learned and enjoyed so much being gone is lifting up my team. When they felt like they couldn't, lifting them up, encouraging them, telling them, you are greater. You are perfectly and wonderfully made. God looks at you and he sees a beautiful son and daughter. Lifting each other up so that we can walk in what we're, not just trampling over what we go about our business, but stopping when one is falling and lift them up and encourage them. Guys, we have to do that as a body. It is imperative, it is important that we do that as a body. And I know sometimes I'm guilty of it myself. It's real easy to get carried away by having so much to do that you stop to just say, hey, you know what? You're doing a great job. Thank you. I see a change in you. I'm really excited about it. There's a lot of you in here that I want to come up to and tell you guys that I'm going to. I've seen some change in you. Keep going. And if one member suffers, all the parts shall share the suffering. If one member is honored, all rejoice with it. Now you collectively are Christ's body, and individually you are members of it, each with his own special purpose and function. So God has appointed and placed in the church for his own use, first apostles chosen by Christ, second prophets, those who foretell the future, those who speak a new message from God to the people, third teachers, then those who work miracles, then those with the gifts of healing, the helpers, the administrators, the speakers, and various kinds of unknown tongues. All are apostles. All are prophets, all are teachers, all are workers of miracles. Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Absolutely. Absolutely. But earnestly desire and strive for the greater gifts if acquiring them is going to be your goal. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one of the choicest graces and the highest of them all, unselfish love. Man, let that encourage you guys. How many of you guys want to walk more in what you feel you're called to do? How many of you guys have a desire to know what it is that God has for you? How many of you guys want to lay hands and see healing take place, see sickness go away? How many of you guys want freedom of depression? How many of you guys are sick and tired of being sick and tired? It's the same exact cycle going absolutely nowhere. What do they say? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over again, expecting a different result. I don't know about y'all, but I'm sick of doing the same thing over again because things don't change. It took that reality, it took that understanding in me to accept more. So I'm going to invite the worship team back up here. And as we do this, guys, I want you guys to, you know what, if that's you today, if you're the one who raised your hand, or if you're the one who didn't raise your hand because you didn't want to raise your hand, listen, there is no shame in raising your hand. I want every single person in this room to want more from God. It is okay to want more from God. It is okay to expect more from God. It is okay to expect more from God. Man, I couldn't imagine what would happen if I didn't expect more from God. As we get into this, guys, I want you guys to be encouraged. I want you to be uplifted. I want every single person in this room to know that you were designed with a plan and a purpose. I want every one of you guys to know that you are all called to heal. I want you to know that you are all called to be in the presence of God, to work in the giftings. We all have authority to see beautiful things manifest in the physical. Man, I know one thing that blew my mind. I was sitting next to a girl who I just baptized the day before. She's one of the students at Caris, and she's sitting next to me. She's a believer. And she said, Richie, I'm feeling kind of dizzy. And I'm like, okay, great. So let's think about it. Like, all week long, it's been about addressing the root of an issue, right? And so I'm thinking about it. I'm sitting in the spirit because I'm waiting for God to tell me what to say, right? We can get into the flowery prayers and all this stuff that we always do. It kind of becomes tradition, right? I know there's sometimes I'll go through like a checklist of, okay, everything from the head to the feet, everything from the, and then I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to speak to? And I felt God say, command anything in her body to go in my name. And so anything that is in this body must go right now in the name of Jesus. And she began to burp. She began to belch. And that belch turned into a hack. And the hack turned into a cough. And before I know it, she's on the floor and a demonic spirit is manifesting. And we began to command that thing to go. Come on. This believer has been pushing in and pushing in. But she's allowed something into her life. She shared with us that she didn't feel like she was good enough. She knows that she believes in God. She knows that He's His Savior, but she's still holding on to alcohol and drugs, and she can't let it go. And she's been afraid to tell everybody because she felt like that meant she wasn't a real Christian. If you have bondage to something, if you are that person who's still holding on to alcohol and drugs, I want you to know that God loves you. He loves you so much. The only thing that can separate you from Him or Him from you is nothing but your own thought process. If you fall into a lie, then you're going to allow those lies to gain roots into your life. And slowly those roots begin to manifest and take place into something. Oh, I wish I gave them the picture. There's this tree in Belize, right? There's a palm tree and a coconut tree. And then there's a fig tree that's growing up right underneath it. And it begins to take over this tree. It's eating this tree. It's devouring this tree, right? And if you get to it before the roots get in, you can save the tree. But if the roots have its place inside, right? Deep down where nobody can see, If the roots have its place in your life deep down where nobody can see, the things that you're hiding behind closed doors, the things that you're keeping to yourself, the things that you're refusing to let out, if those roots take place, they slowly start to devour the tree.
That's right.
And it goes unnoticed, and nobody's able to get to it, and it begins to infect the tree, and it takes over. It's important for us, man. It really is. It's important for us to not be afraid to open up. Reach out to somebody, guys. We're a body that works together, right? We're supposed to lift and encourage each other. Reach out to the person next to you and be surprised. Let's help each other up. Let's help each other out. Let's help each other walk in these giftings. So I'm going to pray for us real quick. If you have healing in your body that you need, I want you guys to come up. I'm going to bring a team up to pray with you guys. And I'll be out here praying with you guys. If you have healing, if you need a freedom in anything.
Amen. Come on.
If you need a freedom in anything, I want you guys to come up. And I'm going to close this out in prayer. Yeah, go ahead and stand up. I'm sorry. I got a little stuck in the moment.
So as Richie closes in prayer, man, if you need to come up, please come up and get prayer. Or if you just want to come up front, but if there's anything in you that's saying, hey, I need to receive prayer, don't ignore that. Come up and receive prayer, okay? In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we thank you, God. Father God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the work that's taking place in the body, God. Thank you, Lord, for an encouraging word. Thank you, guys, for an encouraging word, God. Father God, Lord, we come to you today, Lord. We just thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your grace, God. Lord, I pray that you give us, you encourage us to seek more of you. God, we pray that you reveal to us areas in our life that need to be refined, God. We pray that you reveal areas in our lives that need to be taken to you, Father God. We pray that we begin to walk in your callings and giftings. We pray that, God, you will reveal what those callings and giftings are to us. Lord, I thank you for each and every person in this room, God. I pray that you strengthen us, God. Pray that you continue to live.
Waymaker, miracle worker.
Lord, we thank you for freedom, God. We thank you for your mercies, God.
Touching every heart.